Blog Talk Radio.
Night, and I'd like to welcome you to the show. This is Barn Goddess Barbecue and More. And before I go to my early housekeeping things that I do at the beginning of every show, we've got Leslie Mart on the line. She called in Tupelo. So, Leslie, can you hear me okay?
I sure can. I can hear you just fine.
Yeah, and, you know, you've definitely caught me off guard, but you guys are really recuperating right now after everything that's gone on. So why don't you just chat a little bit with us?
Well, I appreciate that. As your listeners may or may not know, Tupelo, Mississippi, home of the Don't Be Cruel Barbecue Duel, was hit by the massive tornado that went through a week ago Monday. And our community, really certain parts of it, absolutely devastated, including the neighborhood that I live in. Mm. And so it hits even closer to home when it literally is your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And the reason I called is I wanted to give a really special shout-out to Operation Barbecue Relief, who is this tremendous organization. They actually had teams out at three different locations last week that were hit by these storms and served meals not only to the residents who suffered losses and injuries or whatever it might have been, but also to all the volunteers and the coordinators. And just to give you all some idea, in Mayflower, Arkansas, that was just massive damage, 23,400 meals were served by Operation Barbecue Relief. In Tupelo here, they served over 6,000. And in Louisville, Mississippi, over 11,000.
Wow.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot
of people that
benefit because of the barbecue community. People come from all over.
And, you know, teams don't always realize that they want you to sign up in advance to be a team, to be part of Operation Barbecue Relief, so that they're not at the last minute going, okay, it's in Ocala and we need surrounding teams. They need to know who they can call. So, Leslie, you're definitely a reminder that we need to register for certain areas. And, you know, I know you said this is the first day you're going to get a chance to get home and maybe do some cleanup at your place.
Exactly.
Everybody safe, though, at your place?
You know, God was with us because in our community there basically was no loss of life. We had one death as a result of a traffic accident because of the rain. But based on the devastation, to have no loss of life has been a miracle, literally just a miracle. And we're so lucky.
Well, you know, I'm sorry that you're going through it. I'm glad the barbecue people can be there to lend a helping hand. And, you know, there's nothing like that smell of smoke to make you feel like you're with a little bit of home, you know.
There you go.
You know, call back and give us an update, you know, if you can. Next week, even if you get a chance, I'll kind of make a note here. If you get a chance, give me a call, even if it's you did like you did tonight. And let's see how you guys are doing because, you know, we forget we're pretty lucky to have not been hit.
Will do, and I do appreciate you letting me jump on just so quickly and without notice. You guys are awesome, and it's a great show.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Leslie. And, you know, how did your contest come fare?
Our contest, which is held in March, did beautifully. You know, this year we had 96, 97 teams. So it was just wonderful. In fact, a couple of the teams that were at our comp were a couple of the teams that came back and helped with the Operation Barbecue Relief.
Nice.
So it really brings it all the more home when you're invested in that community.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing. Amazing stuff out there.
Yeah, if you get a chance next week, give me a call and let me know how your cleanup's going and what's going on in Tupelo, because we do appreciate it. And, you know, God bless you guys, because I'm glad there is somebody there to be able to help you.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again. You guys have a great show.
Okay, Leslie. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Leslie Mart, and she was the organizer of the Don't Be Cruel barbecue duel there in Tupelo, and just calling to thank Operation Barbecue Relief for being there. And I'm going to go to my first caller, and we'll get back to our housekeeping shortly after that. I'm glad to have gotten Leslie on. So, Mike, can you hear me?
I'm here.
All right, we've got Mike Johnson, and Mike is with I just drew a blank because Leslie kind of caught me off guard, and, you know, bless her heart. But we got Sugar Fire Smokehouse with us, and you were the runner-up on the Barbecue Pit Masters last week, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, and we had Joe and Mike on last week. They're awesome. Yeah, we weren't able to connect, but you guys really had that was a great show with you guys.
Oh, thanks. You know, they asked us after the show how depressed I was, and I was like, I don't care, because I'm just happy for Joe and Mike because they were such good guys, you know, so
it makes
whatever.
It a little easier.
It does.
Yeah.
They weren't jerks at all. They're the nicest guys I've ever met in my whole life.
And you know, as I had Joe on last week, I said it was pretty funny because you were the guy that would go on and go, man, he's a smack talker. So it was fun to watch. You guys did a great job. But, you know, I started looking at people don't know a lot maybe about you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into barbecue and then we'll talk about everything you have going on now.
Okay. I mean, I'm here in St. Louis, Missouri, and I've had about 15 restaurants here. And what happened was when I was 18, back in 1990, I decided I wanted to be a chef. All my friends went to college, and I was too dumb. So I thought I would have fun and move to New Orleans. And I bumped into this guy called Emeril that was just starting a restaurant. Before he was famous, I didn't know who he was. I was kind of there. And I'd worked in restaurants in St. Louis, and I thought, hey, maybe I'll be a chef. You know, I don't have to work 9 to 5. I can grow my hair long, and it sounds like a big party. And so I ended up sticking with Emeril for a few years. I was like his right-hand guy for the first few years he was going down there, and which was an eye-opening experience for me because he went from kind of like the chef of Commander's Palace, which was the best restaurant there, to like world famous, like real quick. And it was kind of like, I mean, he was like a rock star. And so after a few years there, I was kind of getting tired of New Orleans. I wanted to branch out, and I met all these famous chefs through Emeril all over the world. And I said, hey, I want to go to Chicago, because what was coming up then was a place called Charlie Trotter's in Chicago that at the time was the most famous restaurant in the world. Yeah. And I'd met Charlie a bunch. He just died last year. I met him a bunch in New Orleans at Emeril's, and I said, hey, I want to go work for Charlie. So he called Charlie up, and then I ended up going up there. And I stayed there for a couple years, and that was at the peak of his fame, really in the early 90s, mid-90s. And then and by that time, I was getting pretty good at the chef thing, and I went to Europe, and I worked in this pretty famous French place for a year, because at the time, I thought to have credibility as a chef, you had to do time in France. And I was there, and then I was all over. Then I went to California. I was in Napa Valley in L.A., and about 97, I decided to move home to St. Louis, and I opened a really high-end, fancy place, and it did real good for years. And then, like, right about 2001, that's when the kind of higher-end thing, at least in St. Louis, started to go downhill. And I started to I sold that place, and I started getting into places that it was real expensive and a lot labor-intensive, but I didn't make a lot of money. And so I really started, and I started having kids, and I thought, maybe I need to do busier restaurants with bigger bars. So I started to do all kinds of restaurants. I had Spanish tapas bars and Greek restaurants and just like kind of like every gamut of places. And I was doing those for a year, Cajun place, Cuban place, everything. And I would always have like three restaurants that made a lot of money. and four that broke even, and then three that lost a lot of money. So I never made any money. You know, I was kind of like swimming, treading water for years.
Yeah.
And I had a place called Boogaloo, which is still a pretty popular place here in St. Louis. I sold it years ago, but it was kind of a Cuban, Cajun thing. And about 6 years ago, I bought an old hickory smoker, a big one, just for fun to play with. And I started playing with that. And, you know, I don't know if people know this about St. Louis, but we actually have two of the best barbecue restaurants in the country here. One's called Pappy's and one called Bogart's. And I was kind of meeting those guys, and they're awesome. And, you know, Zach got voted Pappy's best barbecue in the country. And then I think a couple years ago, Bogart's got that number one barbecue. People think Kansas City and Texas, but I don't think they always think St. Louis. And they think Memphis and Georgia and stuff. But we've really got some world-class barbecue here. And so I just started playing with it and running more specials and getting good at it, because it's not like, you know, people see these busy barbecue joints and they can make a brisket in their backyard and they think it's easy.
Yeah.
So everybody's opening barbecue places, but it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, cooking-wise. And I've cooked for presidents, every famous people, everybody, high pressure, and this is by far to cook 100 briskets at a time and to hold them at the right temperature all day and make them all perfect for people who are expecting the best meal barbecue of their life. There's no pressure like that. You know, anybody can cook a slab of ribs in their backyard and it's beautiful, but try doing 300 at a time when they're all different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to check each one. They're all different. But anyway, so about 2 years ago, I thought I'd open my own barbecue place here in St. Louis, and I opened one, and now I got three of them going. So
yeah.
That's basically how it happened. That's what happened.
Well, and I mean, that's a quick roundabout way, but now it's not that you have three happening now. You had one.
I had one until like yesterday. Now I have three. We opened our second one last weekend, and then our third one opens this Friday.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It just came together like that. It really just came together. The third one is our first franchise. We set it up before I started. I said, hey, I'm gonna try and do this right. And we set the whole thing up where I could set up and we could do them all over the country. And so we set up as a franchise, and that's really what I want to do. Get, you know, 5, 10, 20. I mean, we'll see how they go. They're going real good right now. I can't complain. We never know.
Right.
But this guy, the third one here, is a franchise. And he's got all the recipes and their manuals and stuff. We set all that up. And we've hired all their chefs. And they worked with us the last 2 months in our kitchens. And now they're going to fly on their own Friday. And I'll be out there the first week the whole time. But after that, they're on their own. So.
Well, that's even to set up a franchise. I mean, anybody that's ever had any kind of doings with a franchise knows that you don't just set it up and you're on your own.
Not at all.
Yeah, there's
not at
a
all.
Lot.
The guy that's doing it is a friend of ours, and he's got a chain of pizza restaurants here, and we've known him for years.
Oh.
And we know what a solid operator he is.
Yeah.
And we hired the chef as one of our guys, and so we know that he's going to be awesome. And because we're not just doing the thing that's a little bit different about us, I mean, it's not better than anybody else, it's just different, is that we hire, like, real chefs, and a lot of people are real chefs, but these are guys that came up with me from New Orleans and San Francisco, and they kind of got burned out on the high-end thing, and what we're doing is we're just taking really fine, natural, mostly organic ingredients and making beautiful sides with them. So you don't just come in and get ribs and brisk and ribs and beans and slaw and potato salad. We have all that stuff. We always have beans and slaw and potato salad. But then we run sides that would blow anyone's mind that would eat in a 5-star restaurant, because that's how I keep the chefs happy. Everyone plays in the new ingredients, and it just works out fun like that.
Well, and you know, so. Mike, I got, for the people that are listening, got a chance to chat with you just very briefly today, because I know you're very busy. But the one thing that I was taken by first starting out at your Facebook page, you have beautiful pictures of your food.
Oh, thanks. I do that myself.
You do?
I take them every day. I'm on that every day, that and the Twitter. And I never knew the importance of that stuff, so I kind of got hooked on it a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I can put something on Twitter, which I'm kind of like a 14-year-old. I'm turning into like this 14-year-old girl. I'm on Twitter and Facebook all day. But I can take a picture of a special, 10 o'clock in the morning. I'll do something crazy. take a beautiful picture of it. I'll filter it with some, I'll enhance it and filter it and stuff, and I'll put it on. I'll say something funny. I mean, I think it's funny. And then next thing I know, at 10:30, I'll have 100 people stand out front waiting for it. You know,
oh.
The power of social media these days is you could never do this before, you know. I mean, we have 11,000 people that follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
And most restaurants around us have like 200 or 300 in St. Louis, you know. But so every time I write something stupid on Twitter, I got 11,000 people there. They're forced to listen to it. So.
and I have not tweeted yet, and I know that that's probably got to come. But
you got to do it.
Your Facebook page is amazing. I went and spent some time this afternoon on your your website, and that's
oh nice.
It's set up very nice.
Thank you. Yeah, we had a different website. When we first opened, I didn't have any money. You know, you know how you open a restaurant? No,
yep.
It's a shoestring. All the costs start snowballing on you. And before you know it, you're a month from opening, and there's no money.
Right.
So our first website looked like something out of, like, 1994. It was embarrassing. And then after a few months, I was like, you know what? We're trying to do a – we started to get real busy. And I said, we need a real professional website. So I went to the best website place in St. Louis. And it cost us a lot of money, more than it made me sick when he told me how much it was going to cost. But when I saw what he could do, and it took a month, and it had a team of like five people, and they made a beautiful website. I mean, I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
It is. And you've got your catering gig up there. You've got the three restaurants represented there. So, it's definitely a class act. And the cool thing is,
Thanks.
All this good stuff you've been doing, and then you really get a little extra notoriety by Pitmasters.
Oh, my God. The notoriety of that thing. I mean, I thought we're pretty, in St. Louis, we're up in the top now. I mean, there's like three really, I mean, there's a bunch of awesome barbecue restaurants here, but there's three of us that are real busy. Like, I mean, we can push a couple, on a good day, I can push 1,500 people through. And, I mean, on
wow.
a slow day, I'll push 1,000 people through. And there's still, I mean, people were, after Pitmasters the next morning, I mean, it was the biggest they ever had. There was hundreds of people that had never heard of us before, and that was shocking to me because we're always in the paper and I'm on social media all the time, and it's real busy, and I'm always just shocked there were so many people that never even knew we existed that said,
wow.
Oh, my God, we saw you on Pitmasters, and we had to come here. Yeah, even though our barbecue tastes like lighter fluid, supposedly, you know. Or whatever.
Oh. Yeah, was that just smoke problems that day, or what was that?
I don't know. Myron loved it. Myron said ours was the best. He said ours, it wasn't even close, ours was the best. I don't know if they showed it on, actually, we had a viewing party for the show, and it was in a loud
right.
bar, and I never saw it. I mean, I could see it, but I couldn't hear it, so. I know when we were filming, I mean, they filmed for like two straight days, nonstop.
Right.
So there's countless hours of audio that's not in there. And Myron was like, what are you talking about? This chicken was the best. And he told me, you know, even on, it probably wasn't on the show, but he said, man, I voted for both your things and, like, way more than the other two. So, you know, just a matter of taste, I guess. I didn't have lighter fluid or anything, and no idea where that came from, but, you know.
Well, you know, now, did you drive your own pit down, or did you borrow a pit down here?
I borrowed a pit that I'd never used before.
What kind
of did
you have?
Down. It's a Rebel. It's awesome. It's a Rebel smoker, and they're incredible.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was my friend's. The guy makes them about 20 minutes from here.
Okay.
List. So, and I mean, that's what I use. We do a few competitions a year, and we always use the Rebel. But, you know, I just honestly had never used it before. It's pretty embarrassing when you're on when you're a barbecue pit master and when they tell you to start your pits. Me and Casey, the guy I went with, he's my buddy, we're looking at each other like, how the hell do we light this thing?
You guys.
Pretty much what happened.
Yeah, I forgot because one of the guys actually made a fire down in the Well, that wasn't you guys, though, was it? That made the fire down in the box where the sticks go?
Yeah.
That wasn't
yeah,
you,
that was
Casey.
That was us. That was Casey. Yeah.
And they didn't,
I told him
they
he
didn't
one,
make it.
He had one job. He had one job before he left. He's incredible, but he's a butcher by
uh-huh.
trade, the guy that I was on there with, and he was also the pit master of of the two, like, really well-known barbecue joints in St. Louis besides my place.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And he is the best. And but we're used to working on these giant commercial smokers, you know, like Old Hickories and Southern Pride.
Yeah.
That you just flip a switch and throw the wood in, and they run on natural gas, you know, and the temperature is perfect for to run for a month straight at 225 degrees.
Right.
And we were looking, and I said, before, 2 weeks before we left, I said, dude, you got one job. Figure out how to light this bit. And he said, I got it. And then we got down there, and he's like, I don't have it.
Yeah, that makes an impression, though. But it, I don't. They didn't make a deal of it, but I do remember seeing
it. No, they could have, and I'm glad they didn't. It would have been so embarrassing.
Well, you know, but I think pitmasters themselves got a bunch of crap about bringing everybody to Florida in that the drive was hellacious for some of you guys.
Oh, it's freezing.
Yeah, the weather was
freezing.
Terrible, and
yep.
A lot of people were borrowing pits.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but I just borrowed a pit because we have a competition pit called Bubba, and it's a giant barrel smoker that's really hard to regulate, and that's what we're going to be cooking our whole hog on in Memphis next week. And it's kind of good to do a whole hog, but the temperature is you just got to be on it nonstop. And I thought, you know what, I don't really want to be worrying about the pit temperature when I'm working on this thing. So they make a temp control thing called Pitmaster IQ, and he makes my buddy John makes it here in St. Louis, just outside of St. Louis. And it wouldn't work on our pit. So I called him up and I said, what pit do you recommend? And he said the Rebel. So it was mostly about temperature control was the reason that we picked that Rebel smoker.
Right, right. Make your life a little bit easier with the pressure and everything.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Memphis in May. This is actually going to be your second time to do Memphis in May?
Yep. Yeah, it is. We're looking forward to it. I think we got a real good shot this year. We came in, I thought we came in 12. We came in 14th last year in the whole hog.
Yeah, but that's great.
But,
first time?
Yeah, I mean, it's okay for our first time. And We had absolutely no idea what we were doing. We rolled up, like, you know, 2 hours before this. We rolled up a day late and the dollar short and just didn't have anything. We just threw it together and we had the worst booth with no decoration or nothing. And this year I'm trying to win this thing. I mean, I got a team of pros coming down with me, and our booth is going to be insane, and everything's going to be awesome. And, I'll probably come in last. You know, you never know. It's kind of a crapshoot. But this year we're going to be prepared, fully prepared.
Well, that'll be a lot of fun. Now, doing Memphis in May is like a whole nother animal compared to a regular KCBS contest
or what
have you. Yeah, is that what you normally cook is KCBS?
KCBS, and now they have St. Louis Barbecue Society. And that's, if you win a SLBS event, you can get in the American Royal. So it's kind of sanctioned by KCBS now. So and that just started in the last year.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
So we do stuff around St. Louis and Kansas City. And occasionally. We have a team mostly of my buddies.
Yeah.
Who aren't necessarily professional barbecuers, but are just good guys who like to barbecue. So this is kind of, like, more fun for them as opposed to us going out and trying to, like, shred everybody and dominate. You know, it's mostly about fun for us out there.
What got you thinking about doing Pitmasters then? I mean, being a restaurant guy.
Well, the truth be told, somebody sent me an email out of nowhere. I was minding my own business back in December, and we do a lot of media here in St. Louis because we're so busy, and there's always a huge line out the door, and we run out of food, and it's kind of every day, like 6:30, 7 o'clock, there's just like nothing left, and I think it's kind of, people think it's kind of weird or something, I don't know, but it's kind of a fun place, and everything, we don't take ourselves seriously, and in December, somebody sent me an email, and it said, it was from people that cast Pitmasters.
Uh-huh.
And it just said, hey, we saw you guys on they saw us on TV or something, a local news source, and they said, would you send us a video you have for this season of Barbecue Pitmasters? And I've been watching the show for years, and I actually went to Myron's school. Before I opened the barbecue place, I went to Myron's school down in Georgia.
Right.
Just for some extra knowledge, you know.
Sure.
And it was one of the best times I've ever had. I would recommend it to anybody. And they said, you got 2 days to make a video and turn it in and see what happens. And I looked up the rule, and it said there was no one from St. Louis. Said you had to be from Kansas City or Texas or Georgia or wherever, Carolina or something.
Right.
So I sent an email back, and I said I thought I had to be from Kansas City, and they sent one back, just send in a video. So I actually, instead of doing, I was going to take my iPhone and make a video of me and Casey, and I thought, you know what, if we get on this show, this is going to be huge. So I actually hired a company. It cost me like $2,000. I called this guy that I knew did videos, and I said, hey, can you come out here tonight and make a video for us for this TV show? I go, I can probably spend $2,000 on this, and then just do, if you can do it for that, let's do it. And he came out, and he made an incredible video, gave it to me the next morning. I emailed it to Pitmasters, and they called me about 24 hours later and said, congratulations, you're on the show. No, that was it. So, and then
wow.
I told a lot of my buddies around here that have barbecue restaurants that are on the circuit, and they were all pissed off because they sent in videos for years and never heard nothing back from nobody. And then here I just got, like, and within, I didn't even think about it, and then within, like, 36 hours, they're calling me, telling me I'm on the show.
Well,
so,
sometimes it works out that way, but you have been doing things, just not realizing it. You have been doing things to get their attention. And
yeah, oh, big time, yeah. Yeah, for
and
sure.
And you just didn't know it. So it worked out
yeah,
for
I
you.
Yeah, I just didn't know it.
Do you think it's been worth your time and energy?
Oh, yeah. All that TV stuff, internet stuff, all that stuff makes everything a lot busier and gets people thinking about it, you know. But
yep.
The TV, the Pitmasters is huge. Just, man, they play that all day, every
yeah.
day. I know I've watched every episode, even before I thought, I never really thought I would get on the show, so I never really sent a video in, you know, before that. But I've seen every episode 10 times. You know, that's what I watch. If I get home late from work late at night, I'm not turning on, like, Friends or something. You know, I'm watching Pitmasters. You know, I'm sitting around drinking a beer and watching Pitmasters. Trying to pick up some tips.
Yeah, that's kind of how this household is, too. Or it'll be the Food Network again.
You know, another funny story. So about 2 weeks ago, the Food Network called us, and it was somebody from Guy Fieri's camp called, our restaurant, and said, we're with Guy Fieri, we call us back. And I called them back immediately because, you know, the show's kind of cheesy, but if you're on the show, you're pretty much set for the next 10 years with business. Cause anything,
oh, you're talking
you
about
can be
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
You can be a terrible restaurant.
Yeah.
Get on the show, and then everybody and their mom's going to be coming there for the next 10 years.
Let me tell you, I know somebody that this was the case, and literally overnight, completely changed their business.
Yeah, so I called them back immediately, and I talked to this producer, and I thought it was my friend messing with me.
Yeah, I was.
And I called
the
them back,
way.
And I got the voicemail, and it was somebody from the show, a producer. Then they called me back again. I talked to them, and they said they wanted me to be on the show called Guys Green Grocery Grab or
oh,
something. I don't know.
Guys
I never
Grocery
heard of it.
Games. Come on,
yeah,
man. You got to be part
was.
Of that.
Yeah. No, I was like, hell. They're like, will you come be on Guys Grocery Green Grab
Games.
Or something? I said, I was like, hell yeah. I was like, I will be there tomorrow. What do I got to do? So I talked to them about a half hour, told them everything, and everything was looking great. And then they said, well, tell us about your TV experience. This is like a week ago, maybe 10 days ago. And I said, well, I'm on Barbecue Pitmasters, the new season. And they said, well, when did that air? I said, well, tomorrow night. And they said, wait a minute. They said, you can't be on the show if you've been on any TV show in the last year. So that was the end of it. It was over.
Oh.
So I'm not going to be on the show.
Well, but the good news is they've looked at you for that because that's a dynamite. I love watching that. If you haven't watched it, you need to, because number one, you need to know the layout of a grocery store, and you need to be able to cook. And if you know the layout of a grocery store, you could do pretty well in this. So
and,
you already
and
know how
the
to
funny,
cook.
The coolest part about it is one of my best buddies was on it and didn't tell me. Another
oh.
chef here in St. Louis, and I looked it up to see what it was. And I was like, holy shit, that's my. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. I said, holy
that's
crap,
okay.
that's my friend, and he got. Killed on the show. He did terrible, and he's a great chef too. He did terrible. He lost big time.
Yeah,
and
but
now
you
I know why I didn't tell anybody.
Here's the thing. He might have done terrible on the show, but at least his hind end wasn't at home sitting and watching it on the couch. He was there and he was ready to play, and that's the best thing going out there. So that's really fun. So I guess after your year's up, Guys Grocery Games will be getting a hold of you again. But you know, since you've got that number, you should call them and say, "Hey, I'd love for you guys to come for Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives too."
I told her. I totally told her. It's out there. It's on the table. The thing is, though, I can't. The way our restaurant's set up, though, I can't. I almost can't even out of this one. Out of these two locations I have now, I almost can't even do any more business because we got a line going from 10:45 in the morning till 7 at night, and then there's no food left. There's nowhere to sit. You know what I mean? And I don't want to expand, and I don't want to mess with what's not broken. You know, I can open another place somewhere, but I don't want to saturate the market here. I'm doing awesome. You know, so I don't know.
Well,
maybe
I'll
if I start slowing down a little bit someday.
Well, and that you probably won't have to worry about that for a little while. But I do love that model, and Joe Pierce was talking about it. He's going to do the same thing at their place, and Aaron Franklin.
Yeah, Joe is.
You start with so much food, and when it's gone, it's gone. And you don't have waste. You don't have stuff being carried over.
People get upset sometimes. They're like, "Can't you just throw something else on?" I'm like, "No. It's just stuff takes 12 hours to cook. It's not like a tenderloin I can go slap on the grill."
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you want something, come earlier next time.
Well, the restaurant looks really, I'm going to say it looks fun from the pictures. I think the next time I'm there, I'll definitely be looking you up. It looks great.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, I'll come put one in Florida. I promise you that. I love Florida. We go to Florida all the time. And that is the one place I would love to come put one. I don't know where yet. Maybe I like the Fort Myers area. I don't know.
I'm from Fort Myers.
Where are you at?
Well, I'm in Donella, and I'm up by Ocala, but I lived in Fort Myers for 25 years, and that's where our contest is this weekend. So
We go to Fort Myers. I go there 3-4 times a year. We go down to Naples. We go all over the place.
Yeah. Well,
I would love to do something down there.
I bet you I could hook you up with somebody to do something with down there. But, you know, Mike, I told you this time was going to fly fast. and we're out of time, but I want to make sure.
What?
Is there anything we left out? Is there something you want to leave us with?
Nah, if anybody's in Memphis and made it next week, come by and say hi.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
be there. We're going to have a full bar, which will be free for everybody there.
That was the important
part. So come by and
part.
Have a cocktail with us.
Well, good luck. Definitely great. Have a great luck there next week and have a blast. But as you get closer to making announcements of anything, don't hesitate to shoot me an email. I'd love to put it out on the airways for you or have you on for 5 minutes to talk about something.
Oh, cool. I appreciate it, Lori.
Well, my pleasure. Listen, thanks a lot, and congratulations. You did a great job.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, Mike. Take care.
Have a good night. All right.
You too. Thanks a lot. That's Mike Johnson with a Sugar Fire Smokehouse there in St. Louis, Missouri. And I have a feeling it's going to be one of those nights where things are going to go quickly. Let me just go back because we did have Leslie Mark come on talking about Operation Barbecue Relief tonight. I want to thank my guests from last week. I had Robbie Royal, Brett Galloway, who had a big weekend last week for competition. And then I had Joe and Michael Pearson from Squeal Like a Pig and their deal on Barbecue Pitmaster. So thank you for them last week. And I need to thank my sponsors, Royal Oak and Cook and Pellets. That's the fuel of choice for me. Pirate 50, they've got custom signs and artwork. And then Sweet Smoke Q. Last week on Barbecue Pitmasters, you saw my juice can roll in the smoke for Chris Chadwick, which he cooked his ribs on, which I cooked my ribs on. I love my juice can, and you can... Jim's going to be on later. We'll talk about everything going on with him. Mac Daddy Smokers, you saw Chris Chadwick with my Pit Viper last week on Pitmasters. It does an amazing job on butts and briskets. So, you know, you can check Billy out online or, you know, if I'm at a contest, don't hesitate to come by and take a look at it. I have people take me up on that all the time because of the way it opens. Happy to have you looking at it. And then also Rec-Tec Pellet Cookers. Happy to have them on board. And we're going to go to our next guest. Hate to rush through this, but I did want Leslie to be on and talk a little bit. So we've got Jay. Can you hear me? Uh-oh. I hope I got Jay. I'm trying to answer Jay. Oh, come on. Hang on, Jay, if you're there. My switchboard is acting up. Don't do it. Okay. The thrills of live show. I'm going to try to put you on hold, Jay, so don't go anywhere. It's just not wanting to answer you. Jay, can you hear me yet? Or I guess I should say, can I hear you? Okay. For some reason, it's not wanting to answer your... Come on. Well, as I'm waiting for this computer, it's pretending it's answering him. I'll tell you that we've got Jay Curry with us with Spice Wine. As soon as my switchboard will answer him. Hey, Jay, I'm going to ask you possibly to hang up and call me right back because it is not wanting to answer you for some reason. It's just cycling your number. Come on. Yeah. This is the thrills of live broadcast, folks. Sorry about that. So, Jay, if you can hear me, because... Okay, the bad sign is I may end up having to call back in myself because I think Blog Talk Radio has overfilled their Tuesday shows or something because I've had trouble 2 weeks in a row now. So while I wait for Jay to call back in, sorry, guys. That's a frustrating thing. Okay, well, hopefully Jay will be able to call back in. And it's too bad I'm trying to read things real quick as I'm Okay, well, hopefully Jay's able to call back in. Just a reminder that Barbecue Superstars is here on Blog Talk Radio 6 nights a week, and it's actually every day but Saturday, so you can find somebody. And then Daryl is here 6 days a week during the week, or actually 5 days. I said 6 days. A lot of times he is there 6 days if there's an event that they're filming with Barbecue Superstars Sports Talk Radio. You'll be able to get them all weekend. Now, this week in Florida, we're going to Fort Myers. Should be a big contest. It's supposed to be really nice, which will be great to be down there back in my old stomping grounds. And fortunately have some people that I'll be able to give some good barbecue to. All right. Jay, your number is still up here for some reason. Okay, folks, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually try to call out to Jay, because I know that was his number, and see if it'll pick him up. And I've done that before. Actually, I did it with Leslie Mart, who was just on with us earlier. And if you weren't on at the beginning, Leslie Mart with the barbecue, the Tupelo contest, Don't Be Cruel, barbecue duel. She was thanking Operation. Here we go. Wow, I won't even call him. I really hate for this kind of stuff to happen because I was really looking forward to having Jay on tonight. Okay, so hopefully, because I'm not able to even call Jay. So, Jay Curry, if you are out there, call me back. The number is 347-202-0263 for a call-in number. I'm going to actually see if I can call him one more time for some reason. If not, Jim, call in early and maybe if I can see Jay's number call in, then we'll pick him up. Okay, I've got somebody. All right, folks. Live is funny. We've got somebody calling into the squealing pig. Let me see who we got. Hang on. Okay, this is Lori. May I help you? Hey, Jay. Listen, can you call back into the thing? I don't know why your number is still up there. I don't have a way, and I'm trying to call you from the switchboard. Oh, I wonder why. Well, let me just see. I wonder if there's a way for us. Let me put you on speaker. Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you on both phones. Which phone would you like to talk with?
Well, actually, let's... Yeah, stay on the phone that I answered, I think, because I've done this with Daryl before. Let me just move my microphone. And the bad thing is I'm actually, I don't know if that machine is trying to call you out or not, Jay. But anyway, thanks for calling in. This is what happens, unfortunately, sometimes when it's live. But let's talk spice wine.
Let's do.
Okay, so how did you get started in this?
Well, actually, I own another company, Columbia Welding and Machine Company, and we sell welding supplies and, hardware and other things to contractors. And I had a smoker at home, and I won't say what brand it was, but I was very unhappy with it because I had to babysit it all the time. And I just was building one for myself for home and wanted to be insulated. And before I got it built, I had two or three customers in, and they wanted one. Long story short, I didn't get one of my own to my house for 3 years. So it just kind of escalated from there.
Well, and I'm guessing if you bought one from another company, you probably bought a Gravity, didn't you?
This was the bottom feeder of the smokers. it didn't have any insulation there, and it looked like R2-D2, if that gives you any indication of what brand of cooker it was.
Okay.
But it was terrible. I mean, I couldn't. I always had to go in every 15 minutes to look at it, and I wanted something that I could, put my meat in and not have to fool with it for, a few hours, and that's kind of how I got started.
Well, how did you get the idea initially then for the maze? Because that's what I refer to yours as. Because I'll tell you, I know Jimmy Brode, and, Jimmy is a great representative for you because when he's out, he's got success, and he's got success with yours.
Jimmy sold about 60 covers for me down there. He's my best distributor out there.
Yeah.
And, of course, he wins. He wins contests, which is good for selling cookers.
Yeah, it is.
Jimmy, he's a good friend of mine, one of my best friends, and he does a good job for me, and we want to keep him on board. But, the main thing is, and Jimmy will tell you the same thing, you can fuel my cooker and go and do something for 4 hours and know that the temperature's going to be constant. There's no heat spikes or anything like that. I feel mine, and I'll go to the store or whatever and just leave it, and knowing that you can come back and, fuel it every so often.
But, yeah.
They'll run 4 hours on one chimney of charcoal.
Oh, I have watched Jimmy literally walk away or go to sleep and kind of never come out and never see.
He has an extended burn basket. He can get 12 to 14 hour continuous burn.
Okay, so that there is a difference. I noticed that because you have three sizes in your regular, your standard cooker, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The small is just someone who does a little cooking here and there, not for any large crowds. Every time you go up a size in cooker, you double the cooking capacity. So, a medium size is for someone who entertains maybe quite a bit and would like to do, a number of things. And, of course, the large. Normally, a large is someone who does catering or, large amounts of meat. A large will hold about 26 pork butts. So the regular guy probably wouldn't need that much cooking area.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the guys, a new team on the circuit here in Florida bought one of your large standard ones, and I didn't know what it was because I hadn't seen your big one like that. It's huge, but unfortunately these guys were playing a little bit too much one night. They set that sucker on fire, and I've never seen anything like that because
That's exactly. It's not using the cooker the way it was intended to be used.
No.
Yeah,
there was so much smoke from it, and I'll tell you, I've never known any of yours to do that, and it was totally their fault. Don't misunderstand me, because I'm impressed with everything I've seen from your cooker with everybody, and anybody that has them seems to just, they love them.
Well, the thing is, every time one of my customers get creative on how to use their cooker, I have to rewrite the safety manual. So,
no, that's...
It's just human error, and I've had people that had... single axle units worth about $6,000 to $8,000 that have set them on fire because they just couldn't use the cooker the way it was intended to be used. And I'm sure that other manufacturers have the same deal, and they're going, "Yeah, I know what you're talking about."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, any cooker can be set on fire. These guys had played a little bit too much, and the guy fell asleep in front of it, and next thing I know, honest to God, I thought it was a water cooker because of all the vapor coming out of the top of it, and then we realized whose cooker it was, and I'm like, oh, my God, they just totally set it on fire. Anyway, but it's huge and it's beautiful because I had not seen one of those, and I know they're planning to do catering besides competing, so they're probably thrilled with it.
When we get up to our trailer models, we do a single axle and a double axle, and both of those cookers, they come standard with alloy wheels, spoiler, hood scoop. I mean, they look like a sports car when they come out. Those are all standard features. It's a rolling advertisement for most folks that have something that size. And we really make them special.
Yeah, I saw you did one for Farmers Insurance, didn't you?
Yeah. The biggest one we've done was for Big Mr. Strutter. He's in Los Angeles, and I'm sure you're probably familiar with him. He gets on TV a lot. We did a cooker for him, sink the double-axle trailer, but he had a three-bay sink. He had a charcoal fired up, and he had a refrigerator. He had two big smokers in the back that were cooked four whole hogs simultaneously.
Whoa!
And it was a $26,000 cooker.
Wow!
And he's done very well with it, so I'm pleased to see it on TV every now and then.
Yeah,
he was on Pitmaster's second season.
The second season. What kind of a tray then do you have for something like that, Jay?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
What kind of tray situation or what kind of fuel situation do you have for a cooker of that magnitude.
They're all the same. It doesn't matter if you have a small one or you have the biggest one that we have. They all use the same amount of fuel. On the larger ones, it may take a little bit more fuel at the beginning to get it up to temperature. But once it's up to temperature, they all use the same fuel, the same amount.
Wow.
To keep them going.
Wow, that makes for a really efficient use of it, because people who have stick burners and then use any kind of insulated cooker are like flabbergasted when they see how efficient the insulated cookers are.
Well, these cookers, and the insulated cookers, and there are other companies out there that have insulated cookers. I'm not saying mine's the only one. But, ours cooks the same 5 below zero as it does 95 degrees.
Right.
Outside. It doesn't use any more fuel or less fuel. And I've got pictures of my old cooker with a foot of snow on top and the smoke coming out the stacks. It's really safe around kids because they're insulated so well.
Yeah.
We can paint ours without all these paint. It's not a special heat paint or whatever.
Right.
And so the customers have any choice of any automotive paint that there is out there. That's thousands and thousands of colors. All they do is give me a paint code, and that's what color it's going to be.
Yeah.
Plus, recently we're doing an old school metal flake type job on our covers. It takes a special flake gun, but if you've seen Skeeter bass boats or whatever, they sparkle when you walk around them.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we do now.
Actually, I think saw somebody's, you did, but I can't think of whose it was, because I mentioned that.
Jimmy's new cooker that he's got has a holographic flake on it, which changes colors as you move around it.
Oh, that's right, and he had it in a Popka, didn't he? Yeah, he had it, I've seen it with him then. That's beautiful.
Yeah, we do an extra extraordinary job for Jimmy because we want him having the best looking cooker. Because he sells so many, we want him to have the top of the line. So we take care of him on that. He takes care of us on sales. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I noticed on your wall of fame, you have a nice and very, consumer-friendly website to look at. I enjoyed the picture of your competition trailer. You just have the one-size competition trailer? Because that's huge.
Well, it's a 30-foot trailer. That's 6-foot back porch and 6-foot tongue, and then there's, in between, like 15 or so foot in between. But it's a mobile kitchen for us. When we go to contests, a lot of times here, most of ours are in the summer up here where I'm at, and sometimes it'll get, 100 degrees outside.
Yeah.
We need to have, something that's air conditioning, and of course we don't have to have a stereo with the Bose speakers, but it's just they're nice,
Yeah.
And then we have a full-size refrigerator and enough workspace for four people. So four of us are in there comfortably, and we can get the job done, and everything's there. You don't have to unpack stuff or pack stuff every time you go. All you got to do is put the meat in the refrigerator, hook up, and go.
Yeah.
Everything else is there already.
Yeah, people don't realize until they put a full-size refrigerator in any size trailer that they're carrying that their life changes immediately with meat and coolers, because there's nothing worse than having a cooler to lug around when you can have a full-size refrigerator. It makes
sense. When we first started out, quite a few years back, we had to, pack everything, pack a truck, and then we needed to load it back up after the contest.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just said, I want something that is self-contained, and everything's there, and it stays in there, and you don't have to, move it around three or four times. So it's worked out well for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plus, it's a rolling advertisement for us, too. So.
Absolutely a rolling advertisement. Now, you have, it looks like, what do you have, three mediums and one large on there?
There's three cookers on the back, and they're modified mediums. And by modified, I mean,
oh, okay.
Took a lot of the weight out of them because, our cookers are pretty heavy. I put the fire doors on the back so that we weren't getting ashes and stuff all over the cooking deck.
Oh, yeah.
Walking in and out of the camper so all the ashes fall along the back side.
Yeah. See, the good thing is when you're the guy building them, you can do what you want.
Yeah, well, we change the cookers out about every 3 years.
Do you?
Because we want the latest and greatest and the new ones. We want everything to look new, and then we put we take the three off and put them up for sale, but they usually only last about 2 days.
When I post,
so.
Yeah. No, that's a good thing. I mean, that's your own advertisement, too. How long you guys been in business, Jay?
Well, we've been in business for 10 years.
10.
And, when we started the whole deal, and, the accountant said, you better split the two businesses off. It's time. And we decided to do a website. And I'm thinking, just the cookers on the website, it's not enough. So maybe I'll throw some recipes in there or whatever. And then that's when I developed some rubs and some sauces. Well, that kind of took off on its own, too. We got 2007. We got the best rub in the world for our heifer dust at the American Oil.
Yeah.
2009. We got best sauce in the world for my blue collar. And so the sauces and spices have taken off now. They're a whole different thing.
Yeah.
We've been very fortunate, all of them are my recipes. And I'm pretty happy about that. People enjoying my stuff and winning with it.
Yeah, I actually forgot that you guys had heifer dust. I've used that before and was very happy with it. I don't know why I didn't order it. I guess just because you start making your own and you kind of forget. But that was a really good. I got that from Rubs class. I think you guys sent Rubs some samples. Or no, actually, I think it's when I helped at Jimmy's class. You sent sauce and dust to him, and he obviously gave it to all the students and. I was helping out. Okay.
A lot of these guys that use my stuff and are successful with it, you'll never hear about it. And we don't want you to know about that. it's a good thing. That I've got some folks that are winning with it, and they want to keep it secret because they don't want everybody to know. But eventually, it'll come out. Rub's been good to me too. He's promoted me in his cooking classes, and he's a great cook.
Yeah,
like Jimmy.
Yeah. We got a lot of that going on down here in Florida, that's for sure. Now, I know you have several distributors around the nation. Are you still looking for distributors? I mean, are you guys able to keep up?
Well, we're always open to distributors. There's a stipulation. I protect my distributors. I won't let, I get my distributors a 200-mile radius where nobody else can, distribute for me.
That's nice.
So that I protect their area. And they have to have a brick and mortar, which means that they're able to show my cookers
right
on a daily basis and not sell out of the garage. And that they, abide by, what rules that we have as far as conduct, as far as customer satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to take care of a lot of that myself. But, the main thing is that if I get an order, if I get a lot of orders come directly to our manufacturer right here, what I do is I try to locate the closest distributor and I'll send that person to them first because they have product ready to go.
Right.
We run about 8 to 12 cookers behind all the time.
Wow.
So if somebody's there that has, two or three already ready to go, I'll try to help my distributors by sending customers to them.
Yeah.
Unless somebody wants something that's unique or whatever, and if they're in one of my distributors' areas, then I'll take that order, custom order, and I'll still give my distributor the benefit of the royalty on that. So,
right, right.
I want my distributor to sell my cookers. All I want to do is build cookers. I want them to sell them, so...
Well, that's what makes for good relationships over 10 years. That's for sure.
And that's not to say that I don't answer phone calls from curious customers. They either want touch base with everybody that's interested in Spice Wine products.
Right.
You know, I do. I don't. I can't afford to be out of the shop all the time answering phone calls, but I try to answer as many as I can. You know, when I'm not in the middle of five, six covers being built.
Yeah.
I build them six at a time, so you know it's always something going on.
Yeah, now, like on your small cooker that's really a great cooker for somebody's backyard, I forget, what's that price on something like that would be good for a homeowner for an insulated cooker?
Well, if they don't do a whole lot of entertaining, I mean, the small cooker will hold a lot. The rack size doesn't really accommodate long racks of ribs, and that's really the only downfall of that is somebody who likes ribs. It's not, racks really aren't long enough to accommodate a long, say a spare rib or baby back.
Right.
But you can still, on a small one, you can still do 3-4 butts or three briskets, but, it just doesn't accommodate the length. If someone entertains, quite a bit, has a few friends over all the time, and a good size for a competition is the medium.
Right.
Because it'll do most anything anybody wants to do. Jimmy cooks on a super medium, which is halfway between, say, a medium and a large. It just depends on what all you're going to do with it. But, anyone that we have for the home, let me put it this way. The biggest complaint I get from my customers is I should have bought a bigger one.
Oh. Well, yeah.
When I'm able to say, well, you want to sell yours? And then I put it on the website, and it's gone within 2 or 3 days. They're on their way to a new one, so.
Isn't it amazing, though, how many, how the used, I'm going to call them used insulated models, how easily they're sold? Because people are upgrading.
Well, and the guys that bought the first Spice Wine cookers that were coming out, they're really benefiting from trading up now because they're actually selling their cookers for more than they paid for. And the reason why is, when we first got into this, the market is so saturated and it's getting worse every day.
Right.
There's more new cooker manufacturers every day.
Yeah.
We had to ease our way into that market or get us a niche in there. So we priced them, low enough where we could get a few out there and get people using them. So those guys that bought back then are selling for more than they bought them for and then upgrade. But that's the way things go.
Yeah. Well, I know that, like I said, people I know that have them are super happy with them. Jimmy's done a good job here.
As long as they have automotive paint on, as long as you keep the coat of wax on, just like your color. So the outside's not going to be deteriorating. And the inside is like your grandma's skillet. It seasons itself from the oils from the smoke and the meat. It's like a frying pan. It seasons itself, so it won't rust out. And I've got I just bought back the very first cooker that we ever made. Actually, it's supposed to have been my cooker. Unfortunately, the owner passed away, and I was able to buy the cooker back, and we're in the process of refurbishing it to its original state. And we're going to put it in the showroom, and we're not going to sell that again.
Oh, that's
something special for me. So.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, at some point in time, that will be your almost your original prototype. So that's kind of a little nostalgia to have there.
Yeah, but it's still, it's 10 years old and it's still cooking. So, I would hope that all of my cookers, if the folks out there that have them take care of them, that they should last them, at least 10 years, more than that maybe. How can you say that about any gas grill you've ever bought?
Yeah.
I've got to buy one of those every 4 years.
Yeah, we're not saying that about any of those. Now, I also see that you guys have wood available.
Yes, we do some of the smoking wood. There's a company here in town that supplies some of the best smoking wood that so sweet.
Yeah.
So we use that quite a bit in our competition, and we also, the apple's really great.
Oh.
And, you know, for those folks like people in Texas or Kansas or whatever who don't have a whole lot of wood available, you know, that's some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, cherry's my wood of choice, so...
mine too, but
yeah.
Of course I cook pork, so
yeah.
I have pork butts, so that's my wood of choice for pork butts.
Is that how you guys are set up with your team? You got four guys and you all take one category each?
Yeah, what we did when we started out, we each took a category, and then the next year we each took a different category.
Oh.
And we went 4 years, which was probably a waste of time, but at least now everybody knows how to cook each category. And what we did was whoever scored best in that particular category throughout that year is who landed on, you know, that. I cooked the pork butt. My brother cooks the chicken. and my other business partner cooks the ribs. And a guy that is a very good friend of mine, Brian Johnson, cooks the brisket. And we've been pretty successful. My brother got a perfect score in chicken.
Nice.
Just all six judges gave him straight nines, which rarely ever happens.
Yeah.
Especially on chicken.
Yeah.
And we got a 180 on ribs last year.
Nice.
And on pork, at the American Royal 2012, we got first place in pork out of 545 teams. So we've got little successes behind us, and we're enjoying it.
Absolutely. Now, you cooked this past weekend, too, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
The weather was great. There were 35 teams. We got fourth place in brisket, but the rest of it kind of fell to the middle. But, you know, that's what happens sometimes. You can't win every time. So.
That's right. That's why they call it a sport.
There were a lot of top, you know, world-class teams out there, it's always good to take one, but sometimes you can't. So.
Yeah, yeah. Now, are you guys doing Memphis MA next week?
No. Actually, I cooked a Memphis MA type of barbecue contest with Jerry at the Big Pig Jig in Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And actually, he was cooking, and I was just, one of his five teammates. And that type of contest doesn't really... it doesn't do anything for me. It's a lot harder than, say, just a regular KCBS because of the contact with the judges and stuff like that. It's just not something that I would enjoy, I don't think.
Yeah, well,
I would love to go visit.
Yeah. The on-site judging isn't for everybody. I think that's why it makes it, you know, such a unique deal going there. But, yeah.
There were five of us on the team, and we were exhausted by the time we got done. It's a lot of work.
it was
a good experience.
And so do you guys have anything special coming up?
Well, at the end of this month, we've got the catering for Camping World is our sponsor, one of our team sponsors. And they've got an open house at the end of this month, and we're catering for 2,000 people.
Wow.
At the end of this month, and then right after that we're leaving for Kentucky, and then we're going to go to Nebraska, and we can only really afford to be out of the shop for maybe five, six contests a year. That's about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can't do the 25, 30 like some folks do, but we can't afford to be away from the business for that long. So we're playing on the parole again this year. same spot, so come by and visit if you're there. Actually, I got a message from I just sold a cooker to a guy last year in England.
I saw that.
He had a contest last week, and he got first place in three categories out of four.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm pretty proud of it.
Yeah, I saw you post that. That's actually really cool. And I one of the other guys I've talked to recently, and I don't know if you actually made this post too, is it'd be interesting to really keep track of everybody that's ever taken grand champions or first, and if for every, you know, team you have ever sold a cooker to, can you imagine what the numbers would be?
Well, I try to get them when they win to at least send me a message or whatever so I can you know, put her on the Wall of Fame and at least give them, you know, some exposure. But I certainly, especially on Facebook, want to recognize everybody that's either, you know, doing well with the cooker or, you know, whatever they're, you know, I had a guy cooking for, you know, a sorority or a fraternity or whatever. He had his loaded up and had a picture of it. I love posting that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, those are people, those are my customers that are enjoying their cooker and they're having success with it. And that's, you know, that's the main thing for me. If they're enjoying it and having success with it, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely, Jay. Well, you know, I appreciate your time. I had tried to get you on one other time, and you and I kept missing each other, and so I was glad that you had a little bit of time. I'm sorry we had some technical difficulties. Actually, it says your number is still in the queue, so we know that that's not the yeah, we know that's not the case. Yeah, I've got no idea what's going on here tonight. But anyway, thanks for being with us. Again, if you get some breaking news and you come up with a new cooker you want to announce, don't hesitate to give me a call.
Well, I sure will. Thank you for having me on, and I sure appreciate being here.
Okay, Jay, thank you so much for being with us. Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That's Jay Curry with Spice Wine and out of Columbia, Missouri. So I guess I had a bunch of people from Missouri tonight. Now, I'm looking for Jim Elzer to be calling in, but I have a feeling that this board is, like, totally crashed. So it's just saying that Jay Curry's still on the line, and we know he's not. Appreciate him being here tonight. So I'm going to actually call Jim. Let's see, there he is. And if you're listening, Jim, I'm going to be calling you here. And if it's Jim and his true self, he'll probably say, "Hi, turd." Can you hear me, Jim?
I can hear you.
Okay.
I actually called in.
Oh, you did? Because it's not showing up anything.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got Jim Elzer here, and as long as you can hear me okay, Jim, we're going to go like I did with Jay. We've got Jim.
So I'll sound like a pilot on a bomber.
Does it sound that way? Is it real bad?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Okay.
You know, I feel like I'm in, it sounds like Jay was in the cockpit of an airplane.
Well, I
did it. Good.
Okay, good. Okay, so we've got Jim Elzer with us, Sweet Smoke Q. He is coming off of 5 grand championships, only needs 2 more of the gold tickets, and, hey, you could have your way into the jack just like other people.
Yeah, it's been a phenomenal year, and I thought, you know, 5 is hard to get. I bet the last 2 is even going to be harder. I really do.
Well, let's see. We've got Fort Myers this week, and then you're back-to-back the next 5 weeks, too, aren't you?
No, I get Fort Myers this weekend, and then I actually get a break, which I'm still looking forward to. And then I go to Oviedo, the Orlando area, and then a week off, and then back-to-back at Cocoa and Madeira Beach.
Okay, well, then I'm a little confused, because today, I thought next week was a dead week, too, but then today I went on to get the guy's number from Fort Myers. And for anybody going to Fort Myers, if you are coming in on Thursday, call them and let them know, because they're going to put all of us in the same area, because they also want to know who's not leaving till Sunday morning. So you should have got an email, and they're looking to hear from you. But anyway, it said that there's a Lake City contest next week on May 7th. What is that?
It might be a non-sanctioned, I don't know. I mean, if it's a, I don't think it's a sanctioned contest.
Look at Jim's getting all nervous, guys.
No,
I don't want to do another one. I want a week off.
Maybe that I was, you know, organizer or something of that contest. He's kind of hiding it from me so he can get a little bit of lead.
Now that would make sense. Matt Barber is responsible for the contest in Lake City. So that Jim thinks he has
actually
a weekend.
I'm actually pulling it up right now. I'm kind of curious.
Oh.
not that I want to do another contest. No, that's just a non-sanctioned contest.
Okay, it really was at the last minute today because I called him like as I was getting ready to pull some things together for the show, so I didn't really look at it, but I was like, I'm sure there was nothing there last week when I made the call down there. So so as we come into Fort Myers and you're hoping to get Grand Champion number 6, what are you planning to do anything different or new? What's your strategy?
At the contest?
Yeah.
I'm really struggling with ribs right now for some reason. I'm not getting, and it might be just the ribs I've been using. I've used the same brand right now for probably since the first of the year. And last year, you know, I was doing very well on ribs, and I was used a different brand, and then I saw the quality go down, so I switched to a different one. And I was real happy in the beginning, and now I'm seeing the quality, you know, diminish on those. So I'm struggling with, you know, some moisture issues. And 2 weeks ago we where were we at? Everybody's Grant. I don't even know where it was at. Martin County.
Okay.
Martin County took first place ribs. I thought that was the worst category. I'm a perfectionist. So if it's not 100% to my liking, I'm thinking I need to do something different. I'm not happy with it. But you know, you cook. This weekend will be my 20th in a row.
Okay.
So it's like you know what to expect. You know when your product is done, what you expect. You know. What you won with, what you haven't won with. I know what to expect when I think I'm going to do good in it or not. And right now, you know, to your question, ribs, I'm struggling a little bit. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Okay, I had a beef in that guy. It must have been the block off when I was on there. But I don't know exactly what I'm going to do on ribs. I've been cooking the same flavor profiles and the same thing for about almost a little less than a year and a half, and it's been working well for me.
Yeah.
I really haven't thought about it. You know, I go to a contest. We've talked about this before. I go to a contest. I don't go to a contest not knowing what I'm going to do.
Right.
I need to figure that out before I get there, so I know the game plan. Because if I get there and you know it's a disastrous thing. That's just how I feel.
Are you going to pick your ribs up on the way, or are you grabbing them at Max?
No, I actually ordered my end. I actually get them frozen. That's a little bit of my thing. But last year I was getting fresh ribs, and I would buy up cases and cases of them and go through and get the best ones, and I would freeze them.
Yeah.
And build it well. So I think, you know, frozen ribs to non-frozen, there might be a little bit of difference, but I don't think a lot.
Well, let's talk about that a second, because don't you see this? I had this conversation with somebody this last weekend. I'm fanatical about having, only because I really see a difference in it, I'm fanatical about having fresh chicken, ribs, and butts. I will if I have to take a frozen brisket. But I think pork, I mean, somebody just totally disagree with me, but I think it makes a difference in the pork and especially ribs when they're frozen. But that's my opinion.
My opinion, I've done well with everything frozen except chicken. I've never cooked frozen chicken.
Yeah.
Frozen butts. But I've done well with frozen briskets and ribs.
Yeah, I'll freeze a brisket.
You know, with the brisket, you know, I'll order, you know, cases and I'll want to finish in the fridge. And a lot of times, I don't have that problem anymore. It's just like it's cooking all the time now.
Yeah.
In the past, you order a couple cases in, if it's supervising, you know, the top, you because I, you know, they're usually shipped here. And I'll age them in the fridge, and then I'll throw them in the freezer.
Right.
The only difference that I've seen with brisket is when you age them and you put them in the freezer, when you unthaw them again, there's more moisture.
Yeah, there's more blood
in there.
Yeah.
So you don't get the once you cook your brisket, it's not a lot. But honestly, I have not seen any tenderness taste difference in a frozen to a fresh spinach.
But you don't think that it doesn't make a difference with pork butts or ribs?
Oh no, pork butt. Pork butt, I've never cooked a frozen butt.
Yeah.
I used to. I just think that, you know, and I was on that same line about ribs, and then I just had to buy a lot of ribs to go through them to get what I'm looking for, and then I had to freeze them, so they don't last for, you know, that long enough in the fridge. So.
Well, you know, when I judge and we get ribs, I swear I start looking at them to see if I can figure out if somebody was using frozen ribs, because, you know, as things can contract and expand with heat and, you know, cold, it's almost like you can tell with a rib if the muscles expand. Now, this, you know, somebody could go, oh, she's talking out her ass, but if you think about how the muscles go across those bones, and you see them, how sometimes you see them split.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's...
Yes, I agree, because I've seen a lot more of that with frozen.
And that's why I think you have to cook fresh.
I've seen it a lot more lately, and it could be the fresh versus the frozen.
I also want to say that part of the thing that we're seeing in pork right now is, you know, they've had to send pork to market that wasn't quite ready because of the virus that took out, you know, all those young pigs, the feeder pigs. Basically, there's been an entire crop of feeder pigs lost almost across the U.S. And, you know, we're still recovering from that, and we are going to see pork prices go up. So I noticed ribs last week that I bought. Now, I wasn't able to get anything great. I ended up with IBP spares. But one of the six was really nice and meaty, and the others were pathetic. I mean, yeah.
And that's what I'm seeing lately.
Yeah, they were bad.
Because the first of this year, you know, I'd get a case of the ribs I were using, and every single one, you know, I could use.
Yeah.
It was thick. And when I look at a rib, you know, what I look for in a rib that I want to cook for competition, I like the marbling in there, but it's in the straight bones. But that's not the top thing I'm looking for. I'm looking for the thickness.
Yeah.
You know, from the one side to the other side, you can get a rib that's thick on, say, the non-brisket breastbone part. You get one that's really thick on there, and it tapers down.
Right.
But what I'm looking for is, you know, some nice thickness. And the marbling helps too, but that's, you know, secondary what I look for. It's the thickness.
Yeah.
Because I think you can get a thick rib, and you know, once I cook them, when I'm slicing them, you know, in competition, if I buy into it, if there's juices running out of there, if tenderness is there, I'm grinning from ear to ear.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know it doesn't score well.
Yeah. And so, speaking of ribs and the juice can, how did you like seeing that smoke roll behind Chris Chadwick last weekend with the juice can?
I liked it. It was kind of amazing. You know, I wish, and I just, some people I work with, they know me very well and what I do, and you know, my product, and they actually watched it last night. So I walked into work today. It's like, oh yeah, that is a dry rib with sauce.
Oh, poor Chris.
And even they said, think Chris would have won if he wouldn't have tossed his, if he didn't toss his ribs. I'm like, I think so.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I'm watching that, and, you know, I'm like, dude, you're not, you know, you're doing something
Well, it's funny when he made the comment, they do sauce ribs for dry ribs, and I mean, it's kind of like he's going to live with that statement for the rest of his life, and Michael looked over at him like, really?
You know, you've been in the heat of battle, and I've been in there, you know, a lot of times you're not thinking.
I know. Absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, it sucks because that was a great show to watch. The three guys were very evenly matched. I mean, it wasn't like somebody, you know, just beat the other ones completely. I think they had really good cooks. It was fun to see because when he turned on the promo, when he turned, they did that little promo with Chris, and he turned, and right behind it was the juice can. And all I kept thinking was, I wish you had put that metal thing on there. Even if they had Greeked it out, it would have been in the shape of a sweet smoke cue. But it, that smoke was just pouring out of there, baby. It was looking good.
And, you know, I understand they have to do that. You know, they actually, you know, put a piece of tape over the label on the pork juice. So.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of people, especially the juice, it's going like crazy.
Yeah.
There is several teams, and, you know, got perfect score in KCBS with 180 scores. I mean, I'd like to just, you know, put out who these guys are, and they're, some, you know, some top-notch teams, and there's a lot of people using this stuff and doing very well with it. So it kind of makes me proud that I come up with, you know, some kind of concoction that, you know, I put out there to help other people.
Well, it's helped a lot of people, and you know that everybody is getting super excited about the beef juice. When are we going to see it?
And when I made a comment, I shared your link on Facebook today about saying there's going to be a special announcement or something I said, and I've got some messages. What is it? You know, is it going to be the, you know, beef juice? Blah, blah, blah. No, you know, the thing is not what, you know, the special announcement I'm going to make tonight is not the beef juice, but it is ready to go.
Oh.
You know, it's the recipe, everything is ready to go to bottle. Just going to work on getting over to Hotwatchulos to get a bottle here soon and getting the labels done. So I want to make sure that, you know, everything's done, labels. And
Great.
You know, what I want before I, you know, put it out there. So I'm hoping in the next probably 2 to 3 weeks. I'd like to get it out before June 1st.
That'd be great, Jim. And while we're on that subject, I hope you'll be bringing me some this week. That and sauce.
I need an advantage, you know. People are using my product, and it's like, you know, they're doing well, and it's like, man. But, yeah, I'm here to, you know, I really like to help people out, and I've given a lot of the beef juice away, and people say, a lot of teams come up, well, how much are you? I'm like, no, I just want your feedback on it, you know. So I have not taken a dime on, you know, anybody using that beef juice right now, and I wanted the feedback. It's been doing very well for me, and it's been doing very well for, you know, other teams.
Yeah, well,
it's going to be, once it's released, then I'm going to have me an extra person to do some shipping stuff.
Yeah.
Because right now, just without it, my sales have been going through the roof. I'm blessed about that. And I think this beef juice is going to be, you know, the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know that I've always loved butchers. You know, you have to use a blender for it. And once, you know, I got a hold of yours you have tweaked it down to a science now. You know, I'm sorry, David, but, you know, Jim's juice is going to give you, it's, you're going to give David's beef injection a definite run in under a year. And
yeah,
for a new product to come out like that, that's going to be amazing, Jim.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I agree with you, and I've had lots of people, like, you know, just ease of mixing it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've used, you know, Butcher's and Cosmos beef injection, you know, up until just probably end of last year, just playing around, because I was playing around with mine. I didn't want to switch what I was doing with the teeny deer raise, and then my brisket last year was my, you know, my worst category, I think. We finished first place, or first team deer in every category except brisket. I think we were like fifth in brisket. And then I just decided, you know, first of the year, I'm going to run mine. And out of 20 contests, I think there's only three contests that is scored outside the top 10, and probably two or three. And a lot of those, two of those were 11th place.
Yeah, well, like I said, once this hits the market, you know, you might be leaving that engineering job of yours because, well, I mean, this gives you a full package of things to basically put out now. And
yeah,
I know with the pork injection being doing as well as it's doing for people, everybody's biting at the bit for the beef injection, so I'll be looking for my special little bottle this week and talking proudly about it because, like I said, it does a brisket right for sure. But you do have a few announcements, so let's go to the first announcement. I think you have two announcements, right?
What's the second one, or what's the first one?
Okay, well, you know. Give us the first one. What's your big announcement?
It's not quitting barbecues for Matt Bob Routledge, who was to gain some points on me, so that's not it. So I think he's probably hoping that's what that big announcement was.
Did he put that on your Facebook thing?
No. It was, I just figured, me and Matt are real good buds, and, you know, we like to jaw each other every minute we can get. I'm not quitting competition, but the big announcement is there has been a huge response of people asking me, when am I going to, you know, do a class? So here it is. Sweet Smoke Tea will be doing a class in Central Florida in Winter Haven, August 2nd and 3rd. So it's a two-day class, and we're going to go through basically a contest. We're going to do roll in, trim meats, meat selection, trimming, injection, marinade. We're going to talk about rubs, sauces, cooking temperatures, meat temperatures. We're actually going to do some FDA and KCBS box building. So we're going to go through everything, and there's going to be any questions, no secrets. I'm going to show you what I'm doing.
And everybody that's taken your classes that you did, that you held over at Pitmaster Depot, they all raved about just how much you helped them. So,
and I've done some private classes, and those people, you know, those teams have, you know, done very well. So I'm gonna, you know, put it into a, you know, a contest kind of setting. We're gonna basically talk about everything, what I do, and just, you know. I trim almost 25 to 30 pieces of chicken within an hour. So, I think just showing you just chicken trimming will save, you know, people are like, oh, I hate trim chicken. Honestly, the worst category of meat I like to trim is pork butt. I'd rather trim chicken besides pork butt. My pork butt trimming is so involved. Which, you know, I'm not going to hold anything back on that, you know, my pork program. You're going to see everything I do. And I think a lot of people are very interested to see, you know, pork.
I'm sure they're going to be. I notice you're doing it just close enough to Labor Day that nobody has enough time to beat you for Team of the Year. Now, okay, so let's talk about this, though. Where is it going to be in Winter Haven? Have you got a spot?
I'm working on that. There's a couple things, spots I'm looking at. I would like to have it at my in the process of purchasing a house on a lake. So I'd like to have it out there. It's got a beautiful property. I can have it there. But we're still working on the details about purchasing and that. So I have like three options. Just gotta finalize a couple things, and then it'll be in either Winter Haven area or Lake Wales.
Okay. So, and how would somebody sign up, Jim?
You can go to my website, sweetsmokeletterq.com. Go into on the front page there. There's a link to the web for my where you can sign up. You can go on PayPal. So, sign up or click it and download the application, fill it out. I'll send it to me. And the cost is, for the first team member, it's $500. It might sound like that might be a little.
Nope. It's going to be well worth it.
But I'm going to teach you, that your first contest, you're going to go out there and get that money back. I'm going to tell you how I do it. The thing I cannot teach you is how to cook it and how to do it. So I'm going to tell you, what I've learned over my, the past 5 years.
Okay. And so that's for the first person. You must have a second person deal.
Yes. And if you have any additional team members, if you have another team member you want to do, that's $400.
Great.
But we're gonna do a special here for if you sign up within the next 2 days, that additional team member, I'm gonna cut. It'll be $325.
Whoa.
So you're gonna pick $75 off that.
Yeah.
The next two days. So by the end of midnight on Thursday, that goes back up to $400.
Okay. Okay.
And spouses, that's $300.
Oh, so spouses don't count as a teammate.
Well, it's cheaper for a spouse.
Okay.
Additional team member, say you two buds, out there. It's gonna if you sign up within the next 2 days, it's gonna cost you
$825. $325,
$325
and
$500. So that's I'm gonna teach you everything I know, and there's no ask questions or whatever. I'm gonna lay it all out there.
Well, that's going to be really exciting.
And also, we're going to cook on a lot of a few different cookers. Definitely the drum smoker, the pellet smoker, and stick lettuce. So we'll cook on. And then if somebody has on the application form, there's a spot on what to cook on. If somebody cooks on something, I might bring in that and kind of play around with that.
Well, that's gonna be amazing, Jim. Like I said, I know everybody that's attended your classes down at Pitmasters were really excited to go to them, and said you didn't hold anything back. So, cool beans.
And also, one last thing I forgot. And then one lucky participant that comes to the class will be doing a drawing for a new juice can drum smoker with temperature controller.
Oh, cool. Okay.
You can come out of there with a smoker and
get
ready to go.
Yeah. Okay, so one person, it's a two-day deal. Are you going to have them come in on, Friday night, or do you have any idea on that?
Yeah, if they want to come in Friday night, that's not a big deal. Not a problem. Like I said, where we're having that, a couple places, that's not a problem. We'll sit, sit down and have a good time, maybe drink a few pink drinks or two.
Or ten. So the second and the third, that's actually a Saturday and a Sunday, isn't it?
Yes, it's a Saturday and Sunday. We're going to start about, around 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Okay.
And around, two, 3 o'clock. And I'm going to have some certified judges there that we're going to go through the whole contest. And the participants can ask the judges questions and what they're looking for. So we're going to have several, certified judges there too.
Well, that'll be great. That's really exciting. Now, if I remember right, you have a new sponsor, don't you?
Yes, I do. I picked up a new sponsor, which been in the works for pretty much the whole, for months and months. I was busy and didn't have time to go over final details with them. And it's just grilling out of Tampa, a wonderful specialty barbecue grilling store in Tampa. It's just, they got unbelievable amount of products. Anything from competition quality products that we use in competition to stuff that you don't hear about a lot, but for your average backyard barbecues, it's amazing store. They have an indoor kitchen in there. They do classes, and then there will be some backyard classes that I'll be doing with them probably this summer. I can squeeze them in, so do some backyard things, show them how to.
Yeah, they actually have a really nice store. I've been in there, and they have what I like to call the foo-foo line of barbecue stuff, because if you want to try something different in sauces, they have all kinds of that stuff for the homeowner that wants to try to get some new flavors in their barbecue. They have all kinds of really cool sauces there, but they have a lot of really great products. So congratulations on landing them as a sponsor.
I walked in the store, and I'm going to say it like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah, I know.
this is amazing. So those guys, hopefully we can, bring them some new customers and then, do some cooking classes for them. So far they've been, just the short-term, relationship I've had with those guys has just been great.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited for you because I know that'll be good. Now, let me ask you, you're still cooking on your drums, but what else are you cooking on right now? Because I didn't know if you happened to have changed.
No, I'm still cooking on mainly the three categories on the ribs and brisket on the drums. And then the chicken is basically just on the pellet cooker, the GMG pellet cooker, but... In the works of possibly switching to a different manufacturer, get everything worked out on that. I'm pretty excited about that. I'm getting ready to work with another sponsor with some charcoal and some other different grilling items. So all in all, it's just been like a snowball effect. It's just, I'm pretty blessed of how this is all working out this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I was talking, and I don't know if you actually heard the first part with Mike from Sugarfire, but, he's been doing this stuff, you've been doing this stuff, but suddenly it just kind of all comes together, and, if you are, I guess I should say, when you win Team of the Year this year, it'll be an accumulation of what you've been working towards, so,
yeah. This is my fifth year, and I talk to a lot of new teams, and I'm willing to help with questions or whatever. It's like, it's hard to expect to come in here and your first couple contests to win a lot. You can do that. I'm not saying you can't, but you have to have the passion and the time. And dedication. You just can't go out there and just throw some seeding on there and throw it in your smoker and throw up a hail mary and hope for the best. This is a science.
Yeah, it is.
There's teams out there that with cooking school and all this kind of information out there. Yeah, you're gonna get there quicker than a lot of us. We did when we started off. I guess I look at myself, you know, they're you know, internet with all the information. When I first started off, I was on there researching every 3 minutes I had to, you know, do the research and things. But then you have to take that and execute that.
Apply it. Yep, absolutely.
Apply it.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, I'm heavily emphasizing my classes, like, okay, this is you know, the seasoning, this is the thing. But you have to cook that correctly, perfectly. And I was talking to a couple of teams this last weekend, and I think right now, in the FBA right now, it's a tenderness contest.
Yeah.
You could put in, I think that I could change up my, you know, rubs a little bit into my sauces and still do very well, but it's a tenderness. That tenderness is a fine line of whether it's not done or too done.
Or overdone. You are exactly right, and that's why once you get it down to the science, you're not making many changes.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to teach, and, you know, I have guys come up with me that take my private, you know, classes, or, you know, just think, my thermal pen is only a gauge. I mean, where it's at. It's feel. I'm feeling. I know it's a feel. And that's, you're not going to pick that up overnight. It's going to take practice.
No, you're right, and I think brisket is generally the easiest one for people to realize that with, because you go in and, you know, people go, oh, well, what temperature are you at? I don't know. I'm just feeling it. Because because brisket's one of those that everybody knows once you've cooked enough of them. It could be 195 or it could be 215. And still not be, you know, I mean, it just depends on the meat. Meat is
right.
Is not an exact science, because
right.
It was
a
living
thing.
What I'm finding out recently,
but over these last few years, that pork butts, it's the same way.
Yeah.
You can have a pork butt that, it's, you know, cannabis, that's been doing very well in the range of, you know, 10 to 15 degrees.
Yeah.
And even my chicken, I put my thermal pen in there just to see where it is at a certain time, see if it's on track. But my chicken is nice and new time, so you don't have to worry about that. So it's the little things, it's the little tricks that, you know, I've learned over the, you know, the years, and that you have to have a passion. You know, you want to have the dedication to do this.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, roll into a contest and throw up the Hail Mary.
That would be nice. When are you coming in on Thursday? Or when are you coming in to Fort Myers? On Thursday?
No, I'll be there on Friday, probably mid-afternoon. I got a, you know, that day job getting.
Man, don't you hate when that happens?
I got some other things in the works that hopefully sooner than later that day job will be a factor.
Wow.
So if all my cards fall in place, then yeah, that's what we're working for. Working on towards. So it's nonstop for me. So.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. It really does become something that you kind of eat, live, and sleep when you really get involved with barbecue or cooking contest of sorts, you know, whatever it might be, because it's something, I don't know, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, okay, what do I need to cook for, what kind of contest, and what do I need to take pictures of? It's like Leon will come out and I'll say, don't eat that, I got to take a picture. But I forget to take pictures of catering jobs, and I don't know what that is. I hardly have any pictures of catering jobs I've done, and I've done beautiful jobs, and I just forget all the time. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I used to take pictures of all my turn boxes, but I don't even anymore.
No, I forget to do that, too. I mean,
and it's like, well, I didn't even look at them, but this last weekend, the IBC, I did take a picture of my my pork box because it was phenomenal. I was pretty proud of myself.
I didn't see it. Where did you put it on?
It didn't score all tens.
It did not?
No. The thing with the IPC, and I'm not going to, it's a great contest, and I'll do it every year they have it. It's just, it's there's no stress, there's no worry about, we go out there and have a good time. They want to mix up some certified judges and non-certified judges.
Right.
Teams that aren't judges. The last 2 years, I could see those scores where there's usually one score that's just out of line. I mean, completely out of line, and that's basically what happened this weekend. I thought I had an outstanding cut. I'm not explaining about we got third overall, so out of some damn good teams in Polk County.
Right.
Non-certified judges or people that don't really know the process or what they're supposed to be judging, but we know that going into that, so it's like I said, I do that contest every year,
It was a lot of fun last year. The Swino boys, I guess, had judges in advance. I didn't end up going down, but I thought it was a great time last year. They did a great job putting it together, and I think it's something fun for the people in that area. And then if you're not in that area, you can get involved as a judge or something. But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's good. If you're a cook team, or you're not a certified judge, or you want to, or even if you're not even a cook team, you want to go judge some top-notch barbecue. That's where it's at. There was only a 10-field team. But there was probably at least six or seven that could have won it. That's how good the teams were.
Yeah. Now, and I was glad to see Keep It in Tradition for your second annual. It rained.
It rained.
Did it rain as bad as it did last year?
It rained longer. We still had the light. It rained a lot.
Yeah.
It rained Friday and Saturday. Where last year, it rained on Saturday.
It was definitely miserable. But anything you want to leave us with, Jim? I'm looking. I'm like, oh crap! I just realized how the.
I want to thank my sponsors. They've been great to me. Like I said, Just Grilling, wonderful. Chris Dale, wonderful. Group of guys over there. Big Papa's Tundra Kitchen. He supplies me with some great rubs. And then also kind of up Howard Shula's gourmet sauces. So I do use some of his stuff. It's just wonderful product, and that's about it.
Well, listen, man, good luck again this weekend. And, of course, I get to see you this weekend. I'm so excited. And I'll have moonshine Jell-O shots because there's always room for Jell-O. So I'll see you at the cook's meeting.
Well, maybe I'll bring him good luck Jell-O shots. I need that sixth win. So hopefully make that seventh win a little bit more easier.
Listen, man, I would love to see you do it. And
I'm not greedy. I'm going to try. When I go in the contest, I'm going there to win.
That's right.
It's too expensive to go in there and not think you can win. I think any team that rolls up to the contest, you have to have the confidence that, okay, I can cook my best. You're not cooking against Sweet Smoke. You're not cooking against Big Papa. You're cooking for six judges.
That's exactly right.
You're not compared to any other team. So you go in there and think, I'm gonna go and do my best and put out my best product.
Absolutely.
You have a chance.
It's yours to lose. It's mine to lose on Friday, too. So,
right.
Yeah. Well, listen, you be safe. I'll be looking for that beef juice when you get there. And
hopefully, like I said, I'm working on it. I would like to have it out a month ago, but, things just kind of hours a day. So it'll be out there soon, and then I'm sure
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Jim, listen, thanks for being with us. Congratulations.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, congratulations on all your success thus far, and we look forward to checking in on you again.
All right, I'll see you Friday.
Okay, sounds good, Jim. Thanks. Okay, that's Jim Elzer with Sweet Smoke Q and one of my sponsors. And just, you know, let me recap what he said about the contest, or his class, rather. It's going to be August 2nd and 3rd. If you sign up in the next 2 days, the second person, instead of being 500, 500 for the first person, the second person will be 325. That's an extra $75 off. So by midnight on Thursday, that sale will be off, and then it will just be $500 for the first person, $400 for the second team member. So that's a great deal. You might want to check that out for 2 days. You can get that. And then somebody at his class will, there will be a drawing for one of his juice cans. And let me tell you, if you, you know, wonder about the UDS or the ugly drums, my juice can is not an ugly drum. It's a juice can. And it kicks ass on ribs. I'm loving what it does for my ribs. I've been doing really well ever since they've joined together. The ribs and the can are one. But and Jim does his whole contest basically on those cans. So if you want to have something fun to cook on, it's something different. And, you know, I think as cooks in barbecue, we like being able to cook on multiple cookers. So, you know, that's just one more bonus there. So let me just thank the guys that were with me tonight. Jay Curry, sorry that we had some technical difficulties. Your number's still up there if you happen to be listening. So we know that didn't work, and poor Jim couldn't call in. So thank you, Jim, for letting me call you. And then, of course, had Mike Johnson from Sugar Fire on tonight. Really happy that he could spend some time since, he's opening a second restaurant in 2 weeks. Also like to thank my sponsors, Barbecue Superstars. I'm one of them, and we're here for you 6 nights a week. Don't forget to listen in. Sweet Smoke Q, Mac Daddy Smokers, check Billy and the gang out over there in Middleburg, Florida, Rec-Tec Pellet Cookers. Couldn't be happier. If you didn't see my Facebook post this week, I did a pizza fatty on it, and it was rolled, and it came out absolutely beautiful. When I sliced that thing, my honey said, that's like a meatloaf on steroids, and it really was. So if you didn't see that picture that I took, came out beautiful, pizza fatty, and had all the good stuff in it. Did that on the Rec-Tec. Anyway, my fuel I use exclusively, cookandpellets.com, either a hickory blend or what I use is the perfect pellet. Royal Oak, they've got charcoal as well as hard lump. Super happy with them. I just have to learn not to use as much as I put in because it just burns forever. And, it's kind of gotten to be a joke, but I got to get used to using it. It really tends to burn longer, so I'm super happy with them. And Pirate 50, if you haven't had a chance to see my new sign from Dale and the Lady Pirate over there, take a look on my Facebook page and check out my sign from Pirate 50. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for being with me. I probably will be doing a Friday Night Lights from Fort Myers this week, and so look to, unless one of the other guys already put in to do it, I'll probably do that for Daryl if he's not got it locked up, but look forward to that. Good luck, good smoking luck to everybody this weekend, and safe travels out there. Otherwise, I will be back with you next Tuesday. Thanks for listening tonight, and everybody have a great weekend. Remember, it's National Barbecue Month.